and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting tonight. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part on the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegate microphone if you are physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters: Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Following the presentation of an officer's report, the chair will call for a proposer or a seconder. This should be done using the instant messenger feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it may be missed. If two members ask to propose, the first member having indicated through instant messenger will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via instant messenger feature so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay, so I'm going to kick off. Earlier in our last week, I was contacted by Councillor Catherine Ong, requesting that we mention the incredible achievement of St Fields Leah McCourt. Last week, Leah won her MMA match in London's SSE Arena. This is her sixth straight win, so a huge congratulations to Leah and the very best of luck in her future career. So with the arrival of October comes the launch of another mental health initiative. And for this month, I'm going to be focusing on the importance of mental health voluntary organisations and charities and the work that they do within our communities. As the chair, I'm going to be holding a workshop for all councillors at the end of October with a number of organisations to allow them to present directly to all councillors on who they are, the services they provide and the issues that they're facing. I hope by providing these organisations the space to do so, it would raise more awareness on their importance and enable us as councillors to understand the difficulties they are facing as voluntary organisations and what we can do as local representatives to further help and support them and allow them to continue providing such vital services on the ground. No doubt that there are many organisations who are lifelines for so many who are struggling within our communities, but unfortunately do not receive the funding or the support they need. This is simply not good enough. I have chosen to hold the workshop ahead of our special council meeting with the Trust to allow councillors to be armed with the information that they need to question the Trust and lobby the department on behalf of these organisations. As you know, it's a priority of mine to ensure that our local communities have access to top quality mental health care and services, and I will continue to work hard to ensure that these organisations are equipped, funded and supported to enable them to deliver the services they are so in need of. So I'm asking you all to attend that workshop, and details of that will be circulated. So we'll move on to item number one. Is there any apologies?
Chair, an apology from Johnny McBride today.
We also have apologies from Councillor McAteer and Councillor Gibbons.
And Councillor
Gallagher.
Johnny's actually on the call, I think, even though he's on leave.
Councillor Walker.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Item number two, any declarations of interest?
Chairperson, I would have to declare a pecuniary interest and motion agenda item number 17 in regards to universal credit. At that juncture, I will have to leave the chamber while that motion is being discussed. So I'm declaring a pecuniary interest at this stage. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Terry. See, there's an apology from Councillor Gallagher there as well. Yep. Okay, so moving on to item number 3, and that's the action sheet arising out of the council meeting held on the 6th of September. So page by page is page 1, page 2 and page 3. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Burgess. Thank you. Any matters arising? No? Okay, so we'll move on to item number 4, which is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 6th of September 2021. And again, page by page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, and page 9. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? It's proposed by Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Burgess. And any matters arising? No? Okay. We move on to item number 5, which is the minutes of the Special Audit Committee meeting held on the 13th of September 2021. And again, page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, and page 3. Can I get a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Proposed by
Councillor Kern isn't a member of that committee.
Okay, so proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Casey. Thank you. And any matters arising? Okay, we'll move on to item number 6, which is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 13th of September 2021. So we'll go through page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, and page 15. Could I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Burgess. Any matters arising? Okay, we'll move on to item number 7, which is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 16th of September. And page by page, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6 and page 7. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Malone and...
No, sorry, sir. I'm looking to propose to vote again on Councillor Brown's proposals.
Okay, Councillor Malone, I'm just going to ask for a proposer and seconder for the accuracy of the minutes first. Is that okay?
Yep, thank you.
So, proposed by Councillor Murray and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. And any matters arising? So, Councillor Malone?
Yes, I was looking, Chair, that I proposed to vote again on Councillor Brown's proposal with regards to the allocation of a capital programme, 10.6 million.
Chair, if I can come in, I think it's the wrong set of minutes we're commenting on. These are the SPNR from the 16th to the 9th.
He's on the wrong meeting, Chair.
Councillor, I think that's under different set of minutes. So we'll move on to the next set here. Any other matters arising? Councillor Rand?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I just want to, it's not so much a question or anything, it's just a comment in relation to the item in relation to Warren Point Community Centre. I don't think we should underestimate the huge step forward that this proposal is in the fact that we are going now seeking planning permission for what is a sought-after facility in the town. It's one that we've been working for many, many years to bring to conclusion. Unfortunately, the last year and a half has probably delayed it quite a bit. What I would hope that it all moves forward at a pace now in the next year or two. It's probably the number one project in Warren Point. While we are lucky in the last year or two, a number of projects along the seafront, the baths are getting to a stage, but this is the number one project for everybody in the town. Canalham Park has been problematic in many different ways for us as a council and for the previous council. And I do believe that when the community centre is built and on site, that it will open up the prospects of that park to include many other things in the years ahead. But again, I just want to make the point that we shouldn't underestimate that this here step forward tonight and for allowing the council to move forward to option three and getting the planning in place just to welcome it. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Ryan. Councillor Murray?
Yeah, no, I put the question in just to make sure that Councillor Malone was on the right meeting. That's what my question was.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 7.1 then, which is the minutes of the Special Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 22nd of September 2021. And page by page for accuracy is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6 and page 7. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? So it's proposed by Councillor Sharvin and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any matters arising? Councillor Malone?
Yes, same again. I think I'm definitely in the right meeting. It's regards to the SPNR meeting on the 27th.
Yeah, this is the right one now.
Yeah, I'd like to propose that we vote again on Councillor Brown's proposals. And the proposal read as follows. The $10.6 million be taken out of the capital programme and put towards phase one of the Albert Basin project, subject to a business case for the park project being completed.
Okay, I think, Marie, you want to come in on that?
Yeah, Chair, just to say to members and remind members that at the Special Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee, you were advised both legally and financially that this is a proposal that can only be taken in principle and subject to due diligence for the report to be brought back to the relevant committee.
Okay, I have a question in from Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, I just have a question for the officers. Under what standing order would we be voting on something that we decided on in committee again in full council? Or, you know, why would we be doing this, rehearsing something that was in committee?
Because that's the point of ratifying minutes at a full council meeting.
Oh, thanks, Patrick. You're now an officer.
Okay.
I would like clarification under which standing order this is coming under.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Hanlon. We'll find that out now. Councillor Stokes, you have a question?
Yeah, just to say, Chair, I said at the meeting last Monday, I chaired the meeting on the last Friday week at the programme board, where I have to say the cross-party support from all five parties on the council and the all independents in attendance, the positivity around the park across the chamber continues. And I think the sentiment of that meeting was that we wanted to move on with the park very much at pace, and I think it's a very good news story, Chair, in if the decision that was taken at the SPNR meeting last Monday to move ahead with the park, and it was ratified at that meeting, at the committee meeting last Monday. So I think there's a very positive news story on the park moving ahead as we agreed last Monday, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Stokes. Councillor Murray?
Yeah, I thought Gary was going to ask the question that I was going to ask. I was going to go along the same line as Gary. The meeting that we had even the Friday before was very positive as well, with that Gary was chairing, leading then into the special SPNR. Was all we had talked about. You'll remember the proposal that we made that at this month's SPNR that it was going to be brought a timeline and expenses of how we can best move this forward in accordance with the governance structures that are agreed by the council, and that's including things like the strategic finances working group, the audit committee, about everything that we do to be financially safe and secure, and to make sure that everything, there's no inappropriate moving of monies or anything like that. And to that end, when the proposal was made at the SPNR, like we were so lucky that we had John Walsh, the solicitor, on hand to give us advice, to say, look, this is bad governance. This is just, and you know, it struck me at the time that either some of our councillors just, they don't understand the governance structures of the council. They haven't looked into it. They don't understand what they're doing, or else, which is even more worrying, that they do understand and they just don't care. That the legal advice is, look, don't do this. This is bad governance. And in order to get a chief headline and to say, look, I was going to say two independent councillors, an independent councillor, an alliance councillor, and now another independent councillor who are saying everyone in the council is wrong. This £10.8 million can be moved. You can move it wherever the hell you want. You can flick it here. You can flick it there. Even though our legal advice says you can't do it. And it has created nothing, only confusion. You went from having a positive meeting on Friday, fairly positive meeting on Monday, to complete confusion over Patrick Brown puts out on his Facebook post that he proposed moving £10.8 million from here to there, and everyone voted him down. And remember, the next time you're going to vote, who voted you down? And all we're doing, we're elected by the people, the same as everyone else, to go and to try and create better things. Create better things.
It's an in-committee item, so I will let you finish and we'll let you continue, but I'll maybe just get a proposal.
Yeah, no. I am finished. That's just the point I wanted to make. Either the governance structures of the council aren't understood, or they are understood and the people are game-playing with them.
Okay, thanks, Farah. Look, can I get a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session, please?
Proposed.
Was that yourself, Councillor Malone?
A point of order on that, Chair.
Yes, Councillor Brown.
Given the proposal is the same proposal I made last week and is now public record, what element of the proposal would need us to go into committee?
Chair, the discussion continues and it is an in-committee item, so and always was, despite the proposal being public. So I'm recommending that we move to the in-committee session in the meeting.
Okay, so we've got a proposer in Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Devlin to go into closed session.
Okay, so Chair, just while we were in closed session then, the item reference number SPR 153/2021, the proposal in those minutes put by Councillor Brown and seconded by Councillor Tinley was voted on again, and that vote was done on the basis of legal and financial advice, that it was a proposal that could only be taken in principle and subject to due diligence and a report to be brought back to the relevant committee. That vote fell, and the vote was 6-4 and 30 against. There was a further vote taken in relation to the proposal contained within the minutes, proposed by Councillor Byrne and seconded by Councillor Savage. And again, that vote passed, and it was 34 and 6 against.
Okay, thanks, Marie. So we're going to move on to item number 8, which is the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 20th of September 2021. We'll go through page by page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9 and page 10. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Murray and seconded by Councillor McAvoy. Any matters arising? No. Okay, we'll move on to item number 9, which is the minutes of the Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting held on the 21st of September 2021. And we'll go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy?
Sorry, Chair. There's actually an amendment on those minutes. Councillor Stokes wasn't listed in the attendance list, so we'll change those.
Okay. So proposed by Councillor McGuinness and seconded by Councillor Kern. Any matters arising? Okay, so we'll move on to item number 10, which is the minutes of the Audit Committee meeting held on the 23rd of September 2021. And page by page, it's page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, and page 11. Can I get a proposer and seconder for accuracy, please? proposed by Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Byrne, thanks very much. So we'll move on. Any matters arising? No, okay. So we'll move on to item number 11, which is an extract from the minutes of the Planning Committee regarding the local development plan. And it's just one page. Can I give proposers and a seconder? Proposed by Councillor Traynor and seconded by Councillor Murphy. Any matters arising? Okay, so we'll move on. Items number 12 to 15 are correspondence for noting. Can I get a proposer and seconder to note?
In relation to agenda item number 14, Chair, with your indulgence, that if any of the NELGA members would be interested in going to the regional programme to contact Democratic Services, if that would be fine.
Yeah, that's correct, Councillor Andrews.
Thanks, Chair.
They're proposed there. Proposed by Councillor Murphy and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Burgess?
Yeah, Chair, could I just try and encourage people there to sign up to the events of NELGA? There's some very good ones there. There's to do with climate change and planning. And there's one there in mental health. I think we should all encourage each other to join up. And the training's free. And we should actually make time and take a look at what NELGA is offering there. So could I encourage you all to do that, please?
Thanks very much, Councillor Burgess. Absolutely. If anyone is interested, if you get in touch with Democratic Services. Councillor Murray, you're looking to come in on item number 15.
Yeah, just a brief mention, Chair. Just with regard to digital poverty and that, it was a very important motion that came through Council a couple of months ago. I think it was Councillor Savage, actually, that brought the motion. And it was a real issue during the lockdown. I was very interested in the letter that came back from the Minister, and I'd like to thank the Minister for her response and for acknowledging the good work that's going on in the Council and across the district. I did say at the time of the motion, there's exceptional work going on in our schools, and I know that any schools that over the years have gathered up iPads and IT software have all been more than willing to lend them out where needed. I'm the Senko in the school that I teach as well, and I know firsthand that we were able to give out loan out iPads during the worst of the pandemic and that, and still commit to doing so to any areas of need. So the fact that Project Stratum's being rolled out and all the good work that's going on in Council and all across the district, it was just a nod to the schools that are going above and beyond and doing their best to move with the times and make children digitally enabled at home to further their learning at home. Thanks, Chair.
Absolutely, Councillor Murray, thanks for that. So there's no further comments on those pieces of correspondence. We'll move on to item number 16, which is the notices of motion. The first one being from Councillor McMurray. So Councillor McMurray, if you'd like to read out your motion and if you want to discuss it, and let us know who's seconding it, please.
Thank you, Chair. That this Council write to the Minister for Infrastructure asking that a consultation with a view to legislation be instigated to allow for the rollout of permanent 20-mile-per-hour speed limits across Northern Ireland. Such limits should be introduced in residential and or commercial areas where there's a high frequency and close proximity of pedestrians, cyclists and motorists. In concurrence with this request, Nearly Morning Down Council write to the Department of Infrastructure and request that this district be considered for any future trials of permanent 20-mile speed restrictions. Chair, I mean, without going too much into my holidays, I had a recent trip through the Scottish borders along there, A7 and A72. I came to the A2, A25 and A50 within my own district, and quite literally every town, village, hamlet and hole in the hedge had a 20 mile per hour speed limit. And to be quite truthful with you, it was absolutely bliss. It was bliss to drive and it was bliss to cycle along. I'm not the only councillor here who receives constituents' concerns or has constituents raise concerns about the speeds of traffic within their DEA. And this motion really is calling for affirmative action to be taken to reduce speeds. In regards to 20 mile an hour speed limits, it's quite safety, road safety, quite simply, serious injuries and fatalities are reduced as a result of speeds being lowered. Travelling lower speeds increases usable field of vision for drivers, and quite simply, you know, colliding with the car at lower speeds, there's less chance of serious injury happening. Climate action, driving at 20 mile per hour means vehicles move more smoothly. It reduces both particulate emissions from the vehicles, as well as reducing wear and tear on brake pads, tires, and going through the gears as such. And it just also goes some way to making the road environment feel safer, and as a result, encouraging people to make journeys by feet or bicycle. Indeed, as part of Alliance's Green New Deal to see this rolled out. Also, constituents want it. You know, I'm sure while the 20 mile per hour zones have been very popular and there's very, you know, conscious of the minister introducing these, and I've had pleasure of lobbying and seeing them and relaying the positive news regarding them, but it should also be noted as well, while there's also positive responses whenever schools have been included, there's also been quite disappointment when schools have missed out, and it's usually followed up with the question of why can they not just make them permanent. Also, UK national government surveys consistently show 70% agreement for reducing the speed limit in these areas. And again, you know, the excessive speed of drivers, coming back to it, is one of the main concerns I have raised with me as a councillor. Also, there are worked examples. I mean, I've already cited my Scottish borders experience. There's Welsh experience as well. You know, they've taken the affirmative action to reduce 20 mile an hour journeys. 20 miles it's actually seen a higher increase in active travel by feet or by bicycle increases by individuals. We had the last DFI meeting, and again the representative there made that the trial schemes have been there, and that they were generally supportive, and I just want to sort of follow that up by showing this council's commitment and support, hopefully, for this action. So I suppose, and just one final point in conclusion, you know, I am not anti-motor vehicle. Being the father of a couple of children, you know, I understand, you know, we have to get them about. Also, I'm someone who enjoys putting kayaks, surfboards, mountain climbing kit in the back of a van and going places and exploring places. So I value my van. This is simply about acknowledging the benefits of reducing speeds in areas where there's a high frequency of both motor vehicle and pedestrian cyclists. Thank you, Chair. And Alan Lewis is going to second that, hopefully.
Thanks, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Lewis, you're seconding it. Would you like to come in there?
Yep, that's great. Thank you. And he's awful active there. The way he's evolved, walking and cycling and stuff, he's throwing up his is all the shame a wee bit there, Andy. I would just like to, strongly support the sentiment of this notion that we do receive calls each week on speeding issues, particularly within housing estates and in built up residential areas, and I note from the countless times that I have personally raised it with the roads service that they say that they can't actually put a 20 mile an hour speed limit into a housing estate or a large residential area, that the lowest they can do is 30, and frankly that's almost too high, and 20 is where we should be trying to aim for, the 20 outside the schools, that the department and the minister definitely needs commended on that work that has taking place, that the schools that have got the 20 mile an hour now in place are seeing a definite and sudden change in road safety, and more so that whenever parents and guardians are actually parking outside school, that they're taking care as to where they're parking, that they're more actively aware of the speed limit and the safety of the kids going to and from school, and if there's anything that this council and the councillors can do to add pressure and to lobby and to increase safety and then decrease the speed limits, that should definitely be welcomed. I would like to thank Councillor McMurray for this motion, and I'm happy to tag them here tonight. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Murray.
Yeah, thanks a million. Fair play, Andy, for the motion. I agree, as does our party, with the sentiment of it 100%. I think we've all been lobbied and canvassed by people in residential housing estates and even in town centres with regard to speeding, and you know, you went through all the dangers of them and without a doubt. I'd be happy if you would indulge, Andy, just the slightest amendment that isn't going to dilute your motion but is going to add to it. You've both mentioned schools, and schools just isn't mentioned in the motion. And when I read through the motion, I was going, God, it's a pity Andy didn't include schools, because while the Minister, and fair play to Minister Mallon, she has a pilot scheme out that has hit some schools, I would love to see that 20 mile per hour speed limit outside all schools right across the north. So my request, Andy, and again, it's only intended to add to this, and it would be, we're on the line where it says, such limits should be introduced in residential and or commercial areas and outside all schools where there is high frequency and close proximity of pedestrians, cyclists and motorists. So just to put in schools, just to include schools in that, that when it gets picked up by the media, all the principals of every school right across the district will know, right, there was a motion went through council and it was to slow things down in town centres and slow things down in housing estates, and they included schools in it because there's a strong lobby. And again, I'm not getting at the Minister, because the Minister's doing fantastic work putting out the pilot scheme and getting round many schools. But if we can speed this up by the like of this motion to include all schools in that programme, if you're happy enough, Andy.
Councillor McMurray, would you be happy to accept that slight proposal? Slight amendment?
Yep. Happy to do so, Chair and Councillor O'Murray. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Lewis, you're okay with that as well, just as your second in the motion?
Indeed, that's correct. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on. Councillor Devon.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Councillor Murray for tabling this motion this evening. Anything that improves safety and makes our roads less dangerous for the pedestrian, the cyclist or the motorist, the SCLP fully supports. The relatively recent rollout of the part-time 20 mile per hour limits around schools across the north has been excellent. It's been so welcome, like the number of speakers before me have touched upon there. As we all know, our party's deputy leader and infrastructure minister, Nicola Mallon, has led from the front on this issue, investing more in the active travel agenda than any other minister to date. When we look at the likes of the Active Travel Initiative or the Blue-Green Initiative, we can see how committed Nicola as Minister is to making our area safer for all and striving towards less reliance on the car. So anything that builds upon this will be supported by our group. We want to see greener, cleaner and better infrastructure. We know how much all this is needed, not only for our health and wellbeing, but also as a significant action in our response to climate change. So thank you for this, Andy. But I suppose, given what I've stated above, could I maybe ask you as a proposer if you'd accept a very minor amendment, which is a simple addition of one line at the very beginning. I'm going to just read it right here, Andy, if that's okay. It's just basically saying that this council recognises the great work of the Infrastructure Minister in terms of the 20 mile per hour speed limits at school and rights to, and the rest of the motion or the proposal is as read there. Let me put that through you, Chair.
Councillor McMurray, are you happy with that amendment?
I'll not quibble, though I could, but yes, no, happy to see it amended to go through. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McMurray. Thanks, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Lewis, are you okay with that amendment?
Indeed, yeah.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to Councillor McKee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And thanks for those councillors who brought that forward. Again, it's a very important notice of motion. And when we're talking about schools, we automatically think of young children. Obviously, this is outside of schools. It's on the main road and road bypassing schools, whatever. And the first time I had seen this, I didn't see it in action, but I seen the signage up, and I was holidaying a few years back in Jersey, and I realised, you know, this is a brilliant idea, because it did state on it that you slow down to 20 when the warning lights flash. So therefore, it didn't hold up, Sally, unlike a lot of our 30s and other speed limits where you must slow down to those limits for the duration. But in this case, it's only when the lights flash that you actually need to do that. And I know it may feel like just 10 miles per hour less, but that means a lot whenever you're talking about car parked on both sides of a road and maybe doors opening and you don't know children could walk out. And to be honest with you, it really works. And I know if I go back to with a holiday one year in Florida, and a thing I noticed there was that even the very buses, the school buses, whenever they're letting children, putting them on or off, that the school buses literally stop in the centre of the road and they have an arm comes out, I think, on either side of them to say stop. And once a school bus stops, no traffic is allowed to pass that bus at all on a single carriageway, like a road going both directions. Nothing moves until that bus moves off again. So child safety is taken very serious in other parts of the country and world, if you like. And I think this here, again, is a very good one. I know at my short time in Assembly, I was called out to a similar situation at a school looking for traffic to be slowed down. And this, again, was in the thinking at the time, and I must thank all of those who have spoken on that, and it's very useful, and despite all the amendments, that's all good, not an issue, any of that, and as an Upper Union Party councillor and councillors, we totally agree with this notice of motion. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McKee. Councillor Glenn Hanna.
Thank you, Chair. Andrew, just on the motion, I'm happy enough, Sam, in the sense that any safety at all, improvements in urban areas would be very much valued to the will. Just a comment for you, Andrew. Just easiest one to think of there is Dundrum. If you slow the traffic down for too much for too long there, congestion does build up. I worked in the motor trade all my life, and especially heavy goods vehicles, they admit more pollutants than they do whenever they're idling, so they do, believe it or not, than whenever they're driving on at 50, 60 miles an hour. So just there is a word of caution in that. So there is congestion will happen from this year. If you're proposing to have these 20 mile an hour speed limits 24 hours a day, especially through the likes of maybe, they're talking about Dundrum, there's Ballymartin here, there's even Annalong, so there is, I'm just thinking of Three and Seaford's another one. If you reduce the speed down to that, then you will create other issues as well. So I'm only pointing that out to you. But in general, Andrew, I think it's a good idea. So this, if you want to clarify that, are you talking about the 20 mile an hour speed limits, 24 hours a day? But in general, especially around schools and that, there have no issue with that whatsoever. But I think the way that the minister has brought it in at the moment there is part-time 20 mile per hour limits whenever schools are opening in the morning and in the afternoon. I think that there's sufficient just at the moment. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Hannah. You're still in support of the motion?
Yeah, I mean, in broad terms, I would be in support of the motion, but there is a few issues there that 24 hours a day at 20 miles an hour and through some of them villages there, it's going to nearly stop traffic and actually could cause other problems, so it could.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Owen.
Thanks very much, Chair, for letting me in. I just want to say that I would probably be a wee bit similar to Glyn. There are some reservations around congestion, but equally I am largely supportive of it. Because it's a pilot that Councillor McMurray's asking for, I think it's definitely something that, with a bit of luck, if there is a pilot and there is a review, these are all sorts of things that are going to come out in the wash. I'm not going to pretend that I'm some kind of an expert on things. That's why we have experts. The principal, certainly it would be one of the things that, and bins would be the two things that I would have complaints from. Largely would be the speeding, and particularly around schools. I'm still not overly sure why schools weren't all rolled out at the same time, because, you know, at one point you have certain schools always feel let down, and, you know, you're trying to explain, well, no, their child's not as less important. So I'm all for 20 mile an hour speed limits being rolled out outside schools in places that are congested. More than happy to support being a pilot. But yeah, it would be certainly very interesting on Glyn's point there to see any other impacts, because we would have areas here in St. Field, Ballinhinch, that would get congested quite a wee bit. But yeah, happy to support. Thanks very much for bringing that forward, Councillor McMurray, and thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Owen. Councillor Hanlon?
Yeah, I wasn't going to comment, but I think I need to comment on Councillor Hannah and Owen's comments there. Very supportive of Councillor McMurray's motion and Councillor O'Meara's amendment to it. I mean, just only this morning, I was invited out to a school in a rural area where the principal wanted me to see for myself the impact speeding was having outside the school in our glass. And it's not just determined by school times. And I suppose, I'll probably, like, as a mum, I know that school times are not just 9 and 3 anymore. I mean, there's wraparound services that start as early as 7:45 in the morning and go on to maybe up to 5:00, and then you have preschools in between. So you could be, you know, have kids coming and going all day long. And I think if you're identifying a need outside of school, the chances are there is a need all the time in the village. And usually in those built-up areas, you don't want people going fast, and it's not going to create that much congestion that it's going to outweigh the benefits of the safety to pedestrians and road users. And it's surprising you touched on Sinfield. Sinfield was one of the ones that jumped into my head, because we now have, it's been 30 miles an hour for as long as I can remember, and it works very well. Yeah, you do slow up. Yes, there is a wee bit of congestion, but it's not that long. It's only a wee bit in the morning and a wee bit in the evening, and I don't think the speed limit would make any difference to it. And now we have the pedestrian crossing as well. So, you know, I just think that needs to be noted, that there is a reason why, you know, the schools need to have it, and not necessarily to a time frame. So it's just to make those comments. Thank you, Chair, for letting me in.
No worries. Thanks, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor McKay, you have a question? You're on mute, Councillor McKay.
Yeah, I'm sorry I misread that, because I understood that the councillor meant, Kurt McMurray meant, that the pilot scheme would be, you know, to make it permanent. I understood he meant permanently as the lights flash, but now when I hear that more, that it's going to be like 24 hours. I'm a wee bit more concerned about that myself, being a road user and used to be a lorry man as well, and to think that we're going to have 20 mile speed limits at 3:00 in the morning and around that. I couldn't totally agree with that, to be honest with you. I just thought it was a trial period, but this seemed to be more of a permanent trial for a permanent period. And I couldn't go with that at all, because we've got to remember we've so many road users, and we think of the villages that have been mentioned, and I would have me concerned around that. I understood, as I had said, that only at flashing times only, and I think that to me would be sufficient. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McKay. So are you not in support of the motion?
Again, broadly, and I would just be a wee bit more concerned on that. If any of our member of our group leader want to come in on that, let him come in on it. But at the minute, I would maybe have to go as far as to say I would have to abstain on that, if that's really what that means. Unless the Mr. McMurray would want to say something about that, what his thinking is.
Okay, I'm going to take Councillor Clark in first, and then we can maybe get some clarity, Harold, as to whether you're supporting the motion or not, whether the party is.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. And now I'll just come and support the motion and the amendments. Just to add, probably the biggest issue is enforcement of any speed limit. And currently we have 39 speed limits. I'm aware of various campaigns and issues in regards to speeding cars and likes of Shimla Road, the likes of the harbour area in Newcastle. The cars are travelling at 70 miles an hour by a police station onto these routes. So I think it's about enforcement also. If Andy would take a slight amendment in regards to we write to the PSNI asking for increased speed detection on all our roads in the district. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Councillor McMurray, would you accept that amendment?
Councillor Clark, I suppose could we? I'm just kind of concerned that we're getting straying off the. You know, this is about the speed limits. I'd be quite happy for this to be circulated to the local PSNI stations in regards to how much we take, how much the concern we have about speeds. But this is about trying to instigate the speed limits rather than enforcing the speed limits. If that makes sense, Councillor Clark. So I would be happy to circulate it to PSNI, but I'm not sure the relevance of the including the PSNI to the motion as it is. If that makes sense, Councillor Clark.
I don't agree with Andy. I think there's no point in having speed limits or bylaws if they're not enforced. So I think it's critical. Till moving forward in your proposal on 20 mile an hour, if the police can't enforce 30 mile an hour, how are they going to enforce 20 mile an hour? So I would still prefer we do write to the PSNI requesting that there is an increase in speed detection units in our area.
Is that part of this? Is that sitting separate to this end, Councillor Clark, or is that?
No, it's clearly linked.
So what's the where do you put that in? If that's
just a bond.
Okay. Well, yeah. If that's I just want to. Yep. I don't think it'd be that. Yep. Okay. Yep. Happy days.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor.
Thanks.
Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, there's been that many amendments. I'm sort of. sort of thinking about what the actual motion is now, to be honest with you. But listen, our party, obviously Harold, has noted some concerns are about the 20 mile an hour, the prospect of it being 24 hours, and I certainly note those concerns, but as a party we're still broadly supportive of the motion, and any legislation that would be required would be brought through the Assembly anyway in this proposal. So that's where this type of work would, the likes of those concerns obviously that Harold has mentioned, and Glenn and Catherine, if there is a requirement for amendments to take place, obviously that's the place for that to happen, and we can input to that, through colleagues and even through any consultation that was carried out. So still broadly supportive. Anything that, is designed to increase, safety of motorists, pedestrians and school children in particular, because it's an issue that's raised for me very regularly, particularly in terms of the 20 mile an hour zones. And I've recently wrote to the Minister to outline schools in my own area that I would be in support of being considered for that scheme. But we are broadly supportive, but again, there is more work required in terms of some of the details that have been outlined by colleagues, both party and other party colleagues, council colleagues here. But the motion itself said it is designed to increase safety for all road users and pedestrians. And I think it's important that we give that broad message as a council to the minister that we're supportive of that in principle. But there is work to do, I suppose, in the fine detail of any such proposal as outlined by Councillor McMurray.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Taylor, for clearing that up. Councillor Hannah, can I bring you in briefly?
Yeah, just there to get an answer from Andrew McMurray there on the 24 hours a day. I think that will be a problem, but I take on board Councillor Hanlon's points that the schools are open from roughly 8 o'clock in the morning till possibly 4 o'clock, maybe. I think there should be some sort of time restrictions in these here, so, to be quite honest with you, because That means you're going to be travelling on a 60-mile-an-hour road and going straight down to 20 miles an hour. There is issues there, so there is, you know. So if Andrew could answer that question for me. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Hannah. Andy, do you want to come back in on that and maybe sum up? I think there is broad support of the motion.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, no, I suppose really, sort of coming back to a few of those points, really, Councillor Hannah, yes, I would be quite content for them to be 24 hours. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be. I'm not sure exactly how, I mean, generally, whenever I drive into certain towns, it goes from the 60 to the 40 to the 30. All I am would be suggesting certain areas where there are high frequencies of pedestrians that it be reduced further down to 20. And again, with regarding times and journey times, I'm no mathematician, I'm no physicist, but I do know E=mc². And if I travel at 30 miles an hour in a mile, it'll take me 2 minutes. And at 20 miles an hour in the same mile, it'll take me 3 minutes. So that's a whole mile. I can't imagine, I know time is money, but I'm not sure the extra minute is going to impinge too much on anybody. And certainly, going back again, I thank Councillor Taylor for emphasising their empathy with me regarding the amendments. Not a problem, Lord Elvin, the Minister has done sterling work, but perhaps if you are speaking to her, maybe you could ask her to increase the £3 a head per head on cycling that it currently is. Maybe if she bumped that up to £10 a head, we'd maybe get some real infrastructure about the place and we'd make proper headway. But yes, no, happy to see the motion eventually go through. I didn't realise 20 miles an hour we'd get people going as much, you know. But anyway, listen, thank you, Chair, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McMurray. So that motion has carried through. So we're going to move on to item number 17, which is a notice of motion from Councillor Byrne. Councillor Byrne, if you'd like to speak on your motion and second it.
Sorry for cutting across. Yeah, I have to leave this as I declared a pecuniary interest at the start of the meeting. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, Councillor Andrews.
Thanks, Chair. And if my internet does cut out, please let me know, because it's cutting out during the meeting and I'll switch my camera off. Otherwise, I'll be talking into the abyss, which might be good for some people. Chair, do you want me to read out the motion?
If you want to, it's up to yourself. You have to read it out, yeah.
Okay, thanks, Chair. This council recognises the £20 universal credit uplift has provided a lifeline to many families and recognises the devastating impact that its proposed removal would have at this critical juncture of the recovery period when workers face the end of furlough scheme and massive increases in energy bills. The council also recognises that the removal of the £20 per week payment will have devastating effects for those living here, will push more people into poverty, increase reliance on food banks and increase homelessness, as well as having dire consequences for our local economy. The Council calls on the Communities Minister, in the absence of any action from Westminster Government, to liaise with our colleague, the Finance Minister, to uphold this uplift for the remainder of the financial year and commit to expedite a long-term strategy to tackle the shameful levels of poverty and social deprivation across Newry, Moore and Down. Chair, the Tory Government's plan to remove the £20 universal credit uplift from claimants is both cruel and callous. It'll affect thousands of people across our council area. We've all heard the figures this week. 134,000 people across the north are going to feel the effects of this cut. That's families that are already struggling to get by. They're being hit with this punitive cut after a year that was so difficult for so many people and so many households struggle to stay afloat. I think it is beyond cruel. We all know that this money was introduced to help families during the pandemic. Well, Chair, the pandemic is still ongoing. And with many people feeling the financial impact still, this makes this cut totally inexplicable and simply cruel. The £20 uplift has been introduced here, and there's now been a large increase in the cost of living. We all know that the price of groceries are increasing. We all know that utility prices are increasing across the board. We've seen the figures. Families are facing 35% gas hike prices and alongside electricity price hikes as well. We all seen, you know, the figures in raising rents and the problems that families are facing into just as furlough ends. So to cut the income of those families and our most vulnerable families by £1,040 a year is simply to visit poverty on their doors, to visit poverty on their families, and to visit poverty on so many of our children across the north. This week, the Chief Economist at the Resolution Foundation, Mike Buir, Brewer stated that Northern Ireland will be hit harder than any other part of these islands by this cut. That's 1 in 4 families losing out here. 1 in 3 are estimated to be single parents. As councillors, over the last couple of years, we all read the last publication of the NISRA Measures of Deprivation Stats. Our district of Newry Morne and Down features high across many of those measures. With 4 of the top 5, and I stated this before in council, with 4 of the top 5 most income deprived areas being not only in our council area, but the DEA that I represent, Slieve Gullion, has 4 of the top 5 most deprived, income deprived areas in the north. So that means that this cut will in effect have a disproportionate effect on the people and the very communities that I represent, and why it's so important that we must speak out and make sure that their voice is heard. Chair, at the weekend, I know we see the stats across the news. We heard this debate over the last number of weeks and months, but it's when you see the real effect on the ground that really drives it home. But this weekend, I visited a family that had to make that dreaded choice, electricity or food. Now, she used her last £20 to top up the electric and found herself with empty cupboards, not even bread and milk. Kids going to school hungry. Now, she is not looking a handout. Her family is not looking a handout. She is a working mother who simply cannot keep up with spiralling costs, who can't find adequate housing and is forced to rent privately. And after the lockdowns, you know, there wasn't going to be an increase in rents during a certain period, but after the second lockdown, she got a letter from her landlord outlining a 14% increase in her monthly rent on top of all this. Where on earth is she meant to find the extra money to pay for that? Unfortunately, it's not just a one-off case. She is one of many people across the north that find themselves in similar circumstances. We can't allow vulnerable people on this island to be treated that way. A cut that will lead to increased homelessness and for some, inflict further poverty on many people. Is this the levelling up of the Tory government that they're so proud to talk about? Levelling up, standing on the heads of the poorest and most vulnerable among us. This week, Chair, I welcome the joint statements by all the leaders here to urge the Tory government to ban the removal of this £20 uplift. But we simply can't wash our hands should they choose the negligent path on this, and I believe they will. We need to roll up our sleeves here and use all that's in our power here in Northern Ireland to protect those that we represent. That means that we have to be creative and we must exhaust every single avenue available to protect our most vulnerable through our devolved institutions. Yes, it's difficult. I'm not naive. Yes, but it's not impossible. For example, we don't even know the outworkings of the latest monitoring round. We don't know if there's underspends currently. Therefore, we have an absolute duty to explore these avenues. We must be able to go back to the people and say we have absolutely explored everything to try and mitigate against these cuts from the Tory government. Protecting our poorest is estimated to be in and around £55 million after the end of the financial year in March 2022. That will lift the burden on so many following the difficult period that I stated earlier when furlough was ending. But it also gave the time needed to work on a long-term strategy for the future. And that must be worked collectively across everybody in the executive. But this is not only much-needed income support. Think of the effect that this removal will have on our economy. Millions of pounds from low-income families that will not be spent in our local towns and villages. So we're finding 0.5% of the executive budget right now surely will mitigate issues that we're sure to face down the lane in terms of health and well-being and our local economy. So, as I said, it's difficult, but it's not impossible. Chair, I listened to the debate in the Assembly today, and I will touch on some of the points raised when I'm summing up on this, because I'm sure they're going to be raised by others through this discussion. But for now, I'm going to call on all councillors to use their voice, stand up for universal credit claimants here in the North, and support our motion tonight. Chair, the motion will be seconded by Councillor Karen McKevitt.
Thanks very much, Councillor Byrne. And Councillor McKevitt, are you happy to second the motion, and would you like to come in?
Yes, thanks very much, Cathy, for that, and formally second the motion. And can I thank Pete for the comments and the attention to detail that he has brought to this motion. Listen, we've all seen and read that universal credit has proven to be an unworkable benefit. And it's a known fact that it's worse than the legacy benefit that it even replaced even before the COVID. But, you know, this £20 a week uplift, as it's been commonly known as, is definitely not a luxury. It is a necessity for the claimants to be able to live and live basically on that. I am disappointed that the British government hasn't come forward and reversed its disgraceful decision to cut this uplift. But we do need the Communities Minister to consider an alternative should the British government not reverse its plans. And if the Tories won't do it, then we need to see our Assembly roll up its sleeves and reassure those on universal credit that it will. I mean, the Minister herself, the Communities Minister, is prioritising her anti-poverty strategy, and that has to be welcomed. But part of that should be to protect all those claimants on universal credit. We haven't seen, as Pete pointed out, the outworkings of the latest monitoring round. We don't know if any departments have underspent, and it is our duty to demand that this is looked at and looked at urgently. The people relying on this money, as Pete rightly said, for basic living, needs the reassurance. And you know, at the end of the day, we did vote to have our own ministers to make these decisions, and they need the reassurance ASAP that we will stand by them and make sure that the £1,040 a year doesn't come off this benefit. Other than that, I think Pete has covered a lot of the points that we're trying to come and thank him for that. So yes, formally seconding the motion. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Karen. Councillor Finnegan.
Thank you, Chair. Look, I think a lot of points have been covered. Certainly just drawing on my own experience from the office in the constituency office in Crossmaglen, where we represent all the people of South Armagh that for welfare in our welfare clinic. And I have seen the impact of this £20 cut. Just not wanting to repeat any of the points, but when I seen this motion, I did jot down a few points that I really do think need to be stressed. With the £20 cut expected in October, we see once again that this Tory government determined to impose its austerity policies on those who have the least. We have already seen it in many years of relentless cuts and freezes on social security payments, and with the introduction of the two-child rule. And we see now with this expected cut coming at the end of time, as their recently announced increase of national insurance contributions, the raise of energy costs and the rising cost of living at the end and the end of furlough coming, Boris Johnson needs to wake up and he needs to acknowledge the hardship that is facing families on low incomes and the difficult winter months that we're heading into. We've heard over the past number of months for many people just what this cut will actually mean to them in the office. It's unbelievable. £20 a week may not be much to people in Westminster who make these decisions, but it can be the difference between eating or heating for so many people. The decision to increase universal credit and working tax credit was surely an acknowledgement by the British government that the previous rates were not adequate to live on, and was really changed. The comments by Tres Coffey that people can make up this £20 that they are about to be cut by working extra 2 hours a week shows a real lack of understanding of how wages and universal credit interact and the cost and availability of childcare. Also assuming everybody is able to work currently, that they have a job, or that they're able to increase their hours as needs be, there can be no doubt that this cut would lead to an increase in poverty levels, particularly as Pete has already said, in the Slieve Gully and South Armagh area, where poverty levels are already among the highest in the north. This will impact not just on individual families, but also on the local economy, which is struggling to get back on its feet as we make our way out of the restrictions. It's imperative that we as a council demand the Tory government do not go ahead with this cut, and that the message goes out loud and clear. We need to speak with one voice, and we need to keep the pressure on Boris Johnson.
I do want to say that councillors, I'm sure, are aware that the Minister for Communities, Deirdre Hargey, published the timeline for the development and delivery of the anti-poverty strategy, as Karen alluded to, and that this work is currently in a co-design, co-production phase following from the work of the expert advisory panel. She is to be commended for prioritising this as soon as she came into post. There can be no doubting that her commitment to addressing this issue and we should all ultimately, we should all support her in this work and ensure that the strategy has the maximum impact and ultimately improves people's lives, a task that has been made more challenging in the context of continuing Tory austerity and the economy, the economic threat of Brexit, but one that we must all rise to nonetheless. She has written to, along with the Scottish and Welsh ministers, for the reversal of the UC £20 uplift decision. And for that reason, I would ask Councillor Byrne for an amendment after the. I would amend after Ministers for Community. I would ask to be added to continue to liaise with her executive colleagues and colleagues in the Scottish Government and Welsh Assembly to press the British Government to retain this uplift and to continue to progress a long-term strategy to tackle the shameful levels of poverty and social deprivation across Newry Moore and Down District Council area. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Councillor Finnegan. Councillor Byrne, are you okay with that amendment?
Chair, there's probably going to be multiple amendments coming in, but right now, listen, I expected, you know, to obviously keep the pressure on the British government. I accept that, to write to the Scottish government, to write to the executive ministers, absolutely. But as long as we're continuing to write to ministers whose department it holds, but this is collectively working together. Yeah, for now, I'll accept that amendment, yep.
Councillor McKevitt?
Yeah, for now, yep.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. Pete, I'm delighted you brought this motion forward because just I was making notes here and Karen mentioned a figure there, £1,040. We talk about £20. £20 doesn't sound that much, but it's £1,040. You think if you're a young family trying to feed that family and keep them warm for the 3 better months, possibly December, January and February. I don't even know if £150 a week would do that. You know, just to feed them. I know, fair enough, my family's all grew up, but I see my grandchildren there, and any time they're in my house, they all have their special breakfasts and one thing. Now, it does take a whole lot of money to keep them. And as we're looking at this here, let's say 8 weeks, maybe that £1,040 would cover a family now, maybe 8 weeks, and that would maybe keep them in fuel, so it would, and maybe would keep them in grub, so it would. The one thing that is growing and has grew over the last number of years is food banks, and I think it's a disgrace that it is that families do have to rely on food banks now to actually feed their families. I think this £20 is absolutely essential, so it is to be kept. Boris Johnson listens to nobody. He doesn't even listen to the DUP, so he doesn't, so, and we know everything. So, put it this way, it is a cruel, as you said, cuts it is. It will be the low-paid, possibly single-parent families, and the most vulnerable people that will suffer for that. So I'm happy, on behalf of the DUP, to support your motion, Sam. And I'm delighted you brought it, Pete. So that is the points I'm making. It's £1,040 that's took out of somebody's income for the whole year, so it is £20 sounds nothing. But when you look at it, it's £1,040. That family needs that money, so I'm happy enough to support your motion, Pete. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Glenn. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Councillor Byrne, for bringing this motion forward, and I and the Alliance Party wholeheartedly support it. And you know, I'm going to elaborate on some of the points in this area, and namely the financial stress this welfare cut will place upon the children within our society. This planned cut to Social Security will be the largest cut, overnight cut, since World War II, and will plunge 1,100 children in Northern Ireland into poverty. 100,000 households will be affected. 3 in 4 families with children affected are single parent families. It should be unacceptable that any child grows up in poverty. Poverty means children missing out on opportunities that others have. It means families struggling to afford basics like food, uniform and bills, and it means increased stress and anxiety for children and their families. It affects us all. Children who grew up in poverty are far more likely to struggle with their development, schooling, health and well-being, and the knock-on effect within society this has. It has a profound impact on the start of a child's life and a knock-on effect for their families, their communities and our society. The root cause of poverty is the lack of money. This can be fixed by supporting parents with work, helping families with the cost of living and strengthening our social security system. By taking action in each of these areas, governments can loosen the grip of poverty on children. But we're at a crossroads. The pandemic has shown what governments can do when they take action. Measures like the £20 increase in Social Security, the furlough scheme, the decision to pay free school meals have directly all helped families during historic crisis. However, families are now facing the perfect storm of rising costs and falling incomes. We need action to prevent a surge in child poverty. By any measures, this cut is wrong. It will lead to a surge of poverty, increase in financial hardship for households, and will disproportionately affect key workers and single parents. It will also have a knock-on effect on businesses as families reduce spending to manage the cut. Arguments that these families can simply work a few extra hours a week is untenable. Councillor Finnegan quite rightly called out Secretary of State for Working Pensions, Therese Coffey, in providing the false equivalence that by simply working 2 extra hours a week, that this would somehow fill the financial gap created. It shows a complete detachment from reality when the practical is working out that it would take at least 6 to 9 hours of work to make up the £20 shortfall. But not only that, the universal credit automatically tapers income so that every pound you earn over your work allowance, universal credit will be reduced by 63 pence, essentially, effectively, a 63% tax increase on some of the poorest in our society. Combined with extra childcare costs, this cut puts families in an impossible position that they can't work their way out of. And irony has a canny sense of comic timing, as coincidentally, this motion is tabled on the day that journalists around the world are releasing the findings of the Pandora Papers. Perhaps if governments dedicated as much time to creating and legislating for compassionate welfare system as they do for creating wealth financial systems, then perhaps we'd not have so many individuals, families and children facing the prospect of poverty. In conclusion, I want to briefly credit and thank the agencies and resources that are currently involved in working to help families and individuals who find themselves in this situation. Namely, there's many more, namely Advice NI, Action for Children, and the recently launched UC Us, Guide Universal Credit from Lived Experience. These agencies provide wonderful advice, and if we can signpost some people towards them, all the better. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Byrne.
Thanks, Andy. Councillor Taylor?
Yep, thank you, Chair. Chair, could I first of all thank Pete for bringing forward this notice of motion tonight? It's obviously very relevant given the circumstances that we find ourselves in terms of this benefit, and there's an obvious urgency in terms of the need to deal with this, given the impact it is going to have on hundreds of thousands of citizens in Northern Ireland, particularly families. We've seen over recent months significant increases in costs such as food, fuel and energy, particularly in recent weeks regarding energy. And there is a fear that is only going to continue in the months ahead, because of market pressures and other issues that are prevalent and that's causing this rise. And certainly the decision by the government to press ahead to remove the universal credit will result in many households having to make unacceptable choices between heating and eating. The Communities Minister has outlined that should the uplift not be extended, that she would, as part of her department's planned review of welfare and mitigations, look at the issue of universal credit. And whilst that is welcome on one hand, I think given the urgency of this case, action on this was required as soon as possible, and I'm just fearful that any review, particularly any government review, it never happens that quickly. I think it's clear that those that are impacted by this change in the level of support provided under universal credit, they need the support now, not following any completion of a mitigation review. And as a consequence of that, I would certainly hope that the minister can look at this as a matter of urgency. It is regrettable, as I said, that the government has made this decision, and we should continue to press them to do what they need to do in terms of offering this support to people that are on the benefit of universal credit. But if our communities minister can intervene and do that urgently, we as a certainly as the Ulster Unionist Party colleagues, we would support that. We have outlined that very clearly in statements recently that we want the minister to be in a position to be able to deal with this. And hopefully with this motion being brought forward tonight, that will add, you know, that pressure on all forms of government to try and do what's needed here to bring this support forward and retain the £20 uplift that was offered. So thank you, Chair.
Thanks, David. Councillor Owen.
Sorry, I'm okay. I'd actually deleted that comment. All the comments that I was going to make have already been made, so happy to support it. Pete, no problems at all. No point echoing what everybody else has said.
Okay, thanks very much. So again, broad support of the motion. Pete, would you like to come in to sum up?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'll be very brief. And thank everybody for supporting, all parties for supporting it. I concur with Councillor Finnegan's comments around Trials Coffee and some of the things that were said. People actually aren't living in reality. They're in the wee bubble of the Tory party over there. First and foremost, I do, and it is our party's intention and the remit of this motion, to keep the pressure on as much as possible. But as Glyn states there, Boris isn't even listening to the DUP, and that tells you what you need to know. So in the event that, you know, we can't just say that, you know, the Tory party didn't stop this cut, that there's nothing we can do. We have to explore every avenue. And Minister for Communities did say today that she would look at exploring every avenue. This is not about being party political. This is about working together. And I understand that budgets are year-on-year basis. And I do have made the argument in the past that we should be looking at multi-year budgets, and it'll make things a lot easier. I know there was discussion in Stormont today about social security system that we need here to support the most vulnerable people across these islands. And I think we need to have a bespoke model. It does hit us harder than those over in different parts of these islands, and we should be speaking up. Just as Andy says as well, first of all, the Glyn's point of the 1,040, imagine we hiked up rates on those families and said, do you know what, your rate bill is going to be 1,040 dearer this year. I mean, how on earth would people, so that puts it into context. And Andy does, you know, sum it up, right, this is the perfect storm for these families. And coming up into the mouth of Christmas with furlough ending and those supports being stripped away from them, and it is as stark as either heating your home or providing food or providing a good Christmas for your kids and your family and feeling completely inadequate, even though you're a working family who are getting topped up by universal credit payments. And yes, on the day that, you know, those papers come out in the Pandora report and secret wealth and dealings of the world leaders, I mean, it's just like a slap in the face. I do think more effort should be put into dealing with these, you know, severe poverty on certain people that we represent. David's right, it is a matter of urgency, and the Communities Minister did say that she would look into it as a matter of urgency, but we do need everybody speaking up, and it's speaking as one, as most councillors stated. It is like the Marcus Rashford effect, not a Man United fan, but he will give him his dues when he raises things and brings it to the door of the Tory government. We need to do the same. We need to be shouting for people here, and not simply just saying, well, they didn't do it, there's nothing we can do about it. So, yeah, I thank everybody for the support, and hopefully we can keep made any of Chair, but thanks everybody for your support.
Thanks, Pete. Apologies for that, it's just the recording itself, so I didn't want you to keep on speaking and have to get you to say it again. Okay, that's us back on now. Yeah. Do you want to come in again, Pete, or are you finished?
Well, did it stop for the whole thing?
No, just for the last sentence there.
I'll sum up the very end. Just we all speak as one, and we do everything that we can. I would hate to see that we come few months down the line and see that there was underspends here or certain avenues through certain monitoring rounds. This is not about taking political pot shots. This is about working together to see, is there anything we can do in if the Tory government, which they look like they're doing, take the negligent path, because we need to be voice for our people. So, yeah, thanks everybody for your support.
Okay, thanks a million, Pete. So that motion has carried also. So we're going to move on to item number 18, which is the notice of motion from Councillor Lewis regarding the memorial. This has been referred to the Equality and Good Relations Committee under Standing Order 16.16. So, Councillor Lewis, if you would like to read out your notice of motion and just let us know who is seconding it, please.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. It's been seconded by Councillor Taylor there. So,
I didn't get that.
The Council notes the serious impact that the coronavirus pandemic has had on Northern Ireland. We recognise that many families has lost loved ones, and that the death figures continue to rise, we also acknowledge the sacrifice of service from our health service families, along with those across our voluntary and community sector who's helped their communities at a time when they were most vulnerable, that this council seeks to commission a memorial to be placed within the grounds of Downshire Civic Centre to mark the pandemic, the collective loss and sacrifice of our healthcare staff, including those from the public and private and voluntary sector. And we also note and support the call of the Health Minister, Robin Swan, to establish a Northern Ireland-wide memorial. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. And Councillor Taylor, you're happy to second?
Yeah, yes, Chair. Yes, I'm happy to second the motion of Councillor Lewis. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 19, which is the notice of motion from Councillor Hanlon, and that's community wealth building and will be heard for council. So, Councillor Hanlon, I'll hand over to you.
Thank you. Excuse me, I have the cold. But I'll not read the motion. I'll take it that you have all read through it. So I'll just
quickly. We actually need to read the motion, Councillor Hanlon. Sorry.
No, read it.
Sorry.
Okay. So it's recognises the economic disruption caused for communities across the district caused by the COVID-19 public health emergency, periods of economic recession and Tory austerity. Further recognises long-standing economic problems in the district, including inequality, low-paid employment, poor rates of socially effective investment, deprivation and unsustainable levels of carbon emissions and ecological damage. It acknowledges the local economic models which prioritise wealth extraction and profit maximisation over community wellbeing, and they have unacceptable consequences for workers and communities. It acknowledges the success of community wealth building as a community-orientated strategy of economic development focused on securing well-paid employment, deploying local finance to the benefit of the community, greater community control and more strategic use of land and property, nurturing economic democracy and cooperative enterprises, and making best use of local anchor institutions to locally procure goods and services and provide decent employment. And this is going to be seconded by Councillor O'Mara. So Sinn Féin has recently launched this ambitious proposal around community wealth building, a powerful alternative model for economic development. Community wealth building seeks to leverage existing local and regional resources to provide workers, families and communities with greater control over their own economic development. The model of community wealth building has proven to be very successful in large cities and towns and rural areas, such as, for example, Preston in England, North Ayrshire in Scotland and Cleveland in the United States. Dozens of towns and cities across the US and Britain have formally adopted these community wealth building strategies with tremendous results for the local economy and their communities. Local economies in Ireland have been left behind by economic strategies that do not meet the needs of workers, families and communities across the island. In the North specifically, Tory austerity and the denial of basic economic competencies have stifled economic development. Therefore, we need to be bold in setting out a new approach for our local economy, where we ensure we retain our local resources and initiative to keep good employment, the wealth of our community and socially beneficial investments in our communities. In short, community wealth building has the potential to deliver long-lasting and progressive change to our local economy to make fairer, more sustainable and vibrant communities. There's five pillars to any community wealth building proposal. To make financial power work for people in local towns by retaining as much of that wealth as we can through the local supply chains and targeted procurement contracts. Work with key institutions, commercial, public and semi-state to create local employment and set a standard for high sustainable jobs. Utilise all land and assets in our communities to generate wealth and resources for the people who live there. And develop an inclusive economy with social forms of ownership like cooperatives. Reduce our carbon footprint by establishing shorter supply chains and greater local employment. We will seek to advance these economic principles through council in cooperation with our communities through coherent and ambitious economic strategy. So community wealth building is about working in partnership with communities and businesses to build a more resilient economy that works for local people, which supports fair work and uses land in the region for the benefit of the people that live here. Economic strategies obsessed with growth alone have shown themselves to have limited benefits and to be environmentally unsustainable. By contrast, Sinn Féin's local community wealth building proposal is about developing our communities and local economy in such a way that wealth is added into the community and not extracted. And we believe it is the potential to maximise the unleashed potential of every village, town and community in Ireland. So we're now calling on all councils across the north to endorse the model of community wealth building and incorporate it into our local economic community plans. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Hanlon. And Councillor Murray, you're happy to second it and would you like to come in?
Yeah, just a brief comment. More than happy to second this motion by Councillor Hanlon and our party. And even to go one step further and to propose, if I may, the creation of a working group to oversee the progress in this and to ensure that councillors are key stakeholders and are involved in the process. If I could make that proposal, if that's possible.
Chair, if I can just come in relation to the working group, the establishment of a working group would be put back through the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee, if that's okay, just so the members note that.
Okay, I wasn't sure of what way we needed to go with that. I thought I could bring it in there, but that's fine. We'll take it through SPNR.
Okay, thanks, Councillor O'Murray. We have a couple of comments in there. So, Councillor Brown.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. And it's great to see this motion coming forward, and I thank Una for bringing it. It's highly complementary to other motions that have come before to this council, like ones I've brought on UBI and mutual banking, and indeed motions that your colleagues have brought, Councillor Hanlon, on the likes of embedding social value in procurement processes and so on. So it's really great to see these motions all related to building alternative economic models coming forward. Community wealth building is it can be quite a complex strategy to embed locally. It does take time. It is my view that it involves a complete overhaul of many council processes in an effort to redirect local financial flows back into the local economy. It also involves extensive partnership working with other local anchor institutions to encourage them to do the same thing. It's complemented by other initiatives like mutual banking, which this council is currently exploring, and I think the first working group for that is meeting later this week. For our work weeks, community asset transfer schemes, spend local or local currency schemes, and ideas like universal basic income as well. Simply put, it is a big undertaking, and I was actually, Barra must have read my mind there, I was also going to propose that we establish some sort of working group to try and explore this idea a little bit further, because I'm not sure that the motion goes quite far enough as it's written to actually taking action in terms of advancing community wealth building. And so Vara's mentioned that. I would propose an additional amendment, if you'll accept it, Una, that we also try and organise some sort of conference or day event and try and get some of those people, the likes of, there's a councillor, Matt Brown, I don't know if he's still a councillor, but he was one of the brains behind the press, the work in Preston. I'm sure there's good people in Cleveland who might be able to zoom in for a conference. And I think that would be a really useful way for us to learn more about the model and then take that to the working group to really hash out how we can do community wealth building Newry Morn and Down style. So fully support the motion. Thanks again for bringing it, and hopefully you'll take on board that small amendment on the conference idea.
Thanks, Councillor Brown. Councillor Hanlon, are you happy with that amendment?
Yeah, I mean, I thought would have been probably the ideal thing that we would have discussed in a working group. You know, I know, like, when we sat as a party and discussed community wealth building, that would have been something that we were coming to. I know that there is work being done within the council. I just feel that we need to have a more strategic approach, and all councillors need to be made aware of how we can influence decisions within governance, of course, you know, within the council. But yeah, happy to take the amendment on board.
Councillor Murray, you the same?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Traynor?
Thanks very much, Chair. And I'd like to thank Councillor Hanlon for bringing this motion to the Chamber today. The SDLP will be supporting the motion as it's been amended and the need to facilitate greater community wealth building to help tackle some of the economic problems that we have faced within our district. and to empower communities to create sustainable communities and sustainable economies going forward. Very happy actually with the amendment because as it was read in our own group, we were thinking, you know, did it go far enough? So very happy that Councillor O'Meara brought forward the amendment to seek for a working group within council to try and progress how we as a council can help facilitate greater community wealth building within our district and how councillors can be involved in that. And as rightly just pointed out, on a strategic level, maybe it would be worthwhile at such a meeting. I know that Patrick has said about having a conference, but it would be worthwhile if we do have such a working group set up that we engage with organisations in Northern Ireland that are working across the north to help empower communities. I know that Development Trust and I do amazing work supporting organisations across the north. So if we are going into a working group, we should look for those who have the expertise. We may not have the expertise within the council itself. So just as long as we're open to that, but no, we're fully supportive of the sentiments of the motion and fully supportive of the idea of setting up a working group to take it forward.
Okay, thanks very much, Councillor Turner. Councillor Taylor, you're there in there next.
Yep, thank you, Chair. Chair, I suppose it's something that I've had to do a bit of research on as well. It's not something that I was particularly knowledgeable on, and just when I saw the motion, I was doing some research on that, and I have noted that there are some administrations across other parts of the United Kingdom that are exploring and have undertaken to carry out this type of project. And certainly as a council, anything that we can do to try and create better conditions, you know, for workers, better pay, better sustainable, you know, jobs, we should endeavour to do that. And the issue itself, I think a working group is required to try and, you know, sort of iron out more detail on this, because, as I say, I don't think any of us are experts on it, and there it does appear to be quite complex, and it's something that we should, you know, take time to look at and see if it can be, you know, explored as a council and what we can do to try and, you know, try and work through the detail of that. Some of the word on the motion, listen, there's been quite a bit of criticism of the Tory party tonight, and it wouldn't be for me to try and defend them, because I have my own criticisms of them at times as well about some of the things that they've, you know, they've done in terms of Northern Ireland here. But I think it should be acknowledged as well that there has been quite a bit of support offered by the UK government over the last 18 months in terms of COVID. And I think sometimes that isn't given the acknowledgement that it does deserve at times. But listen, we'll not get into that debate tonight because, you know, I think probably people want some sort of consensus on this. But certainly, you know, as a party, we're happy to explore this further to see if it can be something that can be worked through as a council. As I say, we are committed to try and achieve better conditions for everybody, particularly in terms of pay and sustainable employment. And if this can help to achieve that, certainly we're more than happy to try and explore that. So, you know, certainly give a support to the establishment of a working group to look at this further.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Riley, you're in there next.
Thanks very much, Madam Chair. If anything like this was going to actually work and the council have an involvement, there would have to be a very, very radical overhaul of how our council's configured. As somebody who was in the old legacy council for a long time, I actually believe that the so-called super council has actually decreased the involvement of communities at local government level. And it has created barriers in many instances. And, you know, the new super councils, they are so, so rigid in comparison to the legacy councils that we need that radical overhaul and a really genuine look, a realistic look at how we can affect change within our communities. And one of the, communities will often tell you that it's councils and government bureaucracy that actually hold them back. That the best thing councils or government departments can do is to take a back seat and just give assistance and maybe some funding from time to time. So our planning department for sure needs a radical overhaul if it's going to be more at grassroots level and accommodating the needs of grass level communities. Those are just some comments. Madam Chair, I would also ask, did any of our councillors attend the Levelling Up conference in Carlisle that the Local Government Association organised? Because it does present huge opportunities for schemes and programs like this. You know, it almost seems to be tailor-made for what Una has brought forward tonight. But those are just some of my views. I'm not opposed to that at all, but as I say, we really do need to have a radical look as to how we run our own affairs within council and stop and try and reduce the rigidity and become more fluid and adaptable and able to react to the needs of our communities. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Councillor Riley. And just to, I suppose, clarify that at our recent community planning meeting, it was actually raised that the council are in fact working really well with the community, within the community planning realm. And this motion just goes to, I suppose, to further progress that. And it's just to clarify as well that the working group will be going through SPNR. So again, Councillor Hanlon, I think there's broad support, cross-party support of your motion. Would you like to sum up?
I just want to welcome our, you know, thank everybody for, you know, the support. And I do acknowledge, as I said before, that there is good mechanisms within the council. There is good work being done. But I just think my own, from sitting on a number of different working groups, that there just seems to be, we need a wee bit more cohesion and a bit more understanding from councillors about how we can really empower communities and take forward community wealth building. So, you know, I think I really welcome the fact that everybody's in agreement to a working group, because I think that'll steer forward, you know, for our communities, get the job done, basically. So thank you, everyone, tonight.
Okay, folks, so that's that motion carried as well. So that brings us to the end of tonight's meeting. Thanks very much, everyone, and safe home to everyone in the chamber, and enjoy the rest of your evening, everyone at home. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks,
Chair.
Thanks,
Chair.
Thank you, Chair.